Countless millions of lives have been saved. So thank God. There have been tremendous advances in science and medicine, and we pray for those people. We don't have an argument with science. Good science and true science, we don't have an argument as Christians. We do believe, though, that God is the ultimate healer, and we give him the praise. We thank God for our doctors. We have doctors in our congregation, but we always remember that ultimately all healing and all life comes from God himself. So we thank God for the progress. But I want to speak to you this morning about a different global pandemic. I want to speak to you about a different war that is still being waged in this world. This disease that I'm talking about is even more dangerous than any flu or virus. I'm talking about millions and millions who have died as a result of a disease called sin. Somebody say amen. Sin has created hate and greed and a lust for power. The sin that is in the heart of men and women everywhere. The sin that you and I have to still wrestle with. Even as Christians, we have to wrestle against those lower instincts, those lower impulses that want to dominate our thinking and dominate our very flesh. We've had to fight against those. But that sin is something that's so deadly that it has caused millions of people to be killed. Because you think about World War I, and you think about World War II, and Vietnam, and Korea, and the Gulf War. There have been countries that have been engulfed because somebody wanted to be greedy. Somebody had racial hatred. Some country felt they were better than the next, and they wanted to conquer, and they wanted to oppress, and they wanted to attack and kill innocent civilians, innocent people. And because of that, nations have gone to war. And millions of people in the Holocaust, 6 million Jews were killed because of hatred, because of racial prejudice. Somebody say amen out there. World War I, 40 million killed. World War II, 75 million killed. Vietnam, Korea, Gulf War, the numbers are staggering. Throughout history, entire countries and self-sacrificing soldiers have made noble and heroic efforts to push back the spread of violence, to try to push back injustice. When the Nazis were trying to take over Europe, we had to go to war. It was called the Great War because the whole world understood there was an evil that was at foot and was working in Europe that had to be stopped. But if you think about it this morning, all of that evil, all of that greed, all of that arrogance comes from the human heart. It comes from inside of us. And hundreds of years of reforms, enlightenment, where education has been prevalent around the world. More people are educated. We have more science. We have more medical advances. But yet, all of these things have not been able to change the heart of man that is still in sin and needs a miracle from God. Somebody say amen. Science, education have not been able to rid mankind of its own evil tendencies. Evil tendencies. Somebody said the evil lies in the hearts of men. It's a pandemic that is at war inside of every one of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl. And it is indeed the greatest war of all. Sin is the greatest war of all. Because if it's left on its own, if it's left unchecked, it will continue to destroy not only millions of bodies, but millions of souls as well. Jesus put it this way. He said, "The thief, who is Satan, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Hallelujah. Jesus understood what the trouble with mankind was. He said, Mark 7, verse 21 to 23, evil intentions come from inside of a person. Out of their hearts come sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit. All of these things, slander, arrogance, all of these evils come from inside and defile a person. So that's why you can have great medicine, you can have great education, but unless your heart is changed, we're still going to have problems in this world. Somebody say amen. A global pandemic of sin has infected the heart of every man and woman since the time of Adam and Eve. We know that Adam's first children, two boys, Cain and Abel, the first two siblings that were on the face of the earth, one was jealous of the other while there was sin was in the world. Sin came into the world because of Adam's and Eve's disobedience. And Cain was jealous of his brother because his brother's offering was accepted by God, and he was envious, and he was so filled with hatred towards his brother that he actually rose up one time. He plotted and planned to kill his brother because it wasn't just an accident. He saw his brother out in the field one day, and he says, "Now I've got him." And he rose up and struck his brother, and he killed him. And murder came into the world. Somebody say amen. But, you know, I want to tell you this morning that we are here to celebrate good news. We have a problem, but God has the answer. I'm so glad that God has the answer for the pandemic of sin. The greatest news of all times is that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ, as we celebrate this weekend and as mankind has celebrated now for over 2,000 years, has done what nobody else could do, what no science, what no reform, what no good intentions could do. He literally had the power to change the hearts of men and break sin's power over our life. Hallelujah. He was able to break the chokehold that Satan had over mankind by influencing us through our evil nature. Because when Jesus comes into our heart and the Holy Spirit works in our life, we are a new person inside. We have a brand new heart and a brand new life. I want you to see this conflict and the answer to it. Paul the Apostle says, "So the trouble is not with the law, for the law is spiritual. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do, when I want to do what is right, I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." And then he goes on to say in verse 22, "I love God with my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war," everybody say at war, "with my mind. The power that wants to make me a slave to sin and selfishness that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" And then he answers his own question. He says, "But thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. And then in Romans 8, the very next chapter, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death." I want to say that again. There's a different law that God brought into action or initiated through Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of God in us breaks the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. What we could not do, even by our best intentions, Christ did by coming and offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Can you think of any greater cause than this? Is there any greater cause? Don't you wish we would have peace on earth? You know, peace has to start in the hearts of people. The reason we don't have peace on earth, the reason we have so many global conflicts, is because people's hearts are selfish. People want what they want, and they want it when they want it. And people are willing to kill and to take revenge for what they want. They have ideologies that are really arrogant and full of pride that make them feel like they're better than others. And so they go out and they conquer and they try to oppress other people. Is not this a great cause to set people's hearts free from the chains of sin, from the chains of hatred, from the chains of rebelliousness and unforgiveness and revenge? This is why Jesus came. This is why today is such a great day. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Say hallelujah with me. Jesus won the greatest war. Jesus took on the greatest cause. And this is the final point. Jesus paid the greatest price. Jesus paid the greatest price. He did what no other could do. He was the Son of the living God, the only one who was completely sinless. The Bible calls him the second Adam. It was like God said, "I'm going to reboot and I'm going to start all over again." Through the first Adam, we all inherited a nature that was prone to sin, tendencies to sin. Even King David, whether you're great or whether you're small or unknown. Every one of us struggles with sin. King David said these words. He said, "Surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Here he was, a great man of God, and he had all the privileges that he could possibly have. And he lusted after a woman named Bathsheba, committed adultery, and then tried to cover up his sin by having her husband killed. So he committed adultery and murder. He was an accessory to murder. Imagine that. No wonder he said, "God created me a clean heart. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He understood that the answer was not just trying harder to live up to all the regulations. No matter how hard you try, without Christ, you cannot be a Christian. Without Christ, you cannot have a brand new life. Without Christ, you cannot have a brand new heart. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love this scripture in Colossians 2. It says, Jesus took the list of sins, or rather God took the list of sins and destroyed it. That was against us, all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our inability to please God and our ability to be as holy as God would have us to be. God took that and nailed it to the cross. He put it on his own son. He put the judgment and the penalty and the failure and the shame that we all deserved, and he put it upon his son. In that way, the Bible says, God took away Satan's power to accuse you. I want to read this again. He took the list of sins and destroyed it, the sins that we committed and the punishment that we deserved. Stay with me. And by nailing it to the cross, he took away Satan's power to accuse us. And now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph on the cross. He used the very worst that man could do and turned the tables on Satan and made it God's greatest triumph. What is the worst thing people could have thought of? What is the worst thing, the worst sin that anybody could have ever thought of? That would be trying to kill God. I mean, you can't think of a worse sin than trying to kill God. So God here took what Satan thought was the end of the road, and he made it a new beginning for all mankind. Hallelujah. Romans 4 and 27 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. His victory became our victory. Hallelujah. God's reconciliation took place because Christ was our substitute. He carried our sins. He had no sin of his own. He was a sin substitute. He stood in our place, and therefore we are justified as if we never sinned. And so when we put our faith in Christ's sacrifice, if you're watching today and you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, perhaps you've never confessed your sins to God and said, you know what? I have a heart that's selfish. You know, I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to realize if two children are playing at 2 or 3 years old, one child has a toy that the other child wants, and he rips it away and knocks the other kid down. Now, where did that come from? Who taught that child to be so self-centered? It's just part of our nature. It comes with the territory, right? But I'm so thankful that God had a remedy that goes all the way deep down inside, not only to reform us, but to transform us. He gave us a new heart. Hallelujah. He gives us a new heart, a heart that is not locked up by sin, a heart that is not bound to do wrong all the time. He freed us from the power of sin. He gave us the ability to choose to please God. He gave us the power to say yes to God and no to the devil. So today, if you're watching and you've never prayed, I'm going to invite you in a few minutes to pray a simple prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. The greatest cause, the greatest war, required the greatest sacrifice. The stakes could not have been higher. The cause could not have been greater. What was at stake when Jesus died on the cross? What was at stake when God raised him from the dead? The soul of every man and woman and boy and girl in the whole world for all eternity. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Christ offered his own blood as an atoning sacrifice. His blood is the remedy for all of our sins. Another beautiful scripture says, we were not redeemed from our old way of life with corruptible things. Wouldn't it be something if you could just pay $1,000 for your children? I'll pay somebody $1,000 for each one, and after that, they'll never be bad again. They'll never do anything wrong. They'll never make any mistakes. They'll never say any bad words. All I have to do is just pay $1,000. Wouldn't that be nice? The Bible says we were not redeemed by money. We were not redeemed by corruptible things from our old way of life, but by the precious, everybody say precious, precious blood of the Lamb of God. We just celebrated the Good Friday, and our Jewish friends celebrate Passover. And in that Passover remembrance is the concept of the blood of the Lamb that was placed on the doors of the Jewish people, signifying that they belong to God through the sacrifice. God was saying, by this sacrifice, I purchase you. The life of that lamb and the blood, the Bible says the life of a person is in the blood. So the life was in the lamb. The life was in the blood. He said, I'm going to exchange that lamb for your life. When the death angel passes over Egypt, all the firstborn of Pharaoh and all the firstborn of the Egyptians will die because of the judgment that they deserved. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We don't have to offer animal sacrifices. Jesus' blood was offered in the tabernacle in heaven for once and for all time. He is the great high priest to sprinkle his own blood at the mercy seat in heaven. And because of that blood, we are forgiven, not just from the past, but even for the sins that we will commit, as long as we sincerely ask God for forgiveness and we repent. Hallelujah. And so this day we celebrate, and not just on Easter Sunday, but every day, we celebrate and honor the one who did what no one else could do. He paid the price I could not pay. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a price I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. The resurrection gives the assurance that I can be victorious over my past. If Christ was raised, so are we raised up. What does that mean? What that means is that when you're baptized in water, there's a symbolism that happens. There's an identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you go down into the water, it's as though God is saying, I'm burying your sins, just like Jesus took our sins and buried them in the grave. He paid the price, and they were buried. And then he was raised up in a new life, a new body, where sin had no effect on him, and Satan was completely done with. And in the same way, we can be raised up in a new life if we want to be baptized in water. We will show that identification with Christ, that we're not ashamed to say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been baptized in water, I encourage you to do so right away. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Christians, we have a new way of living. We don't have to give in to sin. We don't have to give in to pride. We don't have to give in to revenge. We can be brand new if we allow the Holy Spirit to bring the life of Christ. The Bible says that when you pray and when you invite him through the miracle of the Holy Spirit, the same way Jesus was planted in the womb of Mary, who was a virgin, the Holy Spirit came upon her, the Bible says, and planted the seed of Christ in her. In the same way, you can have Christ inside of you. The Holy Spirit will give you a brand new life. And this is my final verse, 2 Peter 1:3. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. I want you to, wherever you are at home, say this with me right now here in the auditorium. Say this with me. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back here, and I want to say a prayer with you. And ask you for a moment now as they're coming to bow your heads with me. Everyone, wherever you are at home, and you might be somewhere else. Maybe you're just in another place, work or an office or somewhere else watching this on Facebook. But it only takes a minute to open your heart to God. You know, a lot of people have been praying for this service. We have our intercessors, the beautiful ladies and men in this church who will pray all the time that God will use these messages of hope, these messages of God's forgiveness to transform people's lives. I personally was transformed 50 years ago when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I've never been the same. I've never regretted giving my heart to Jesus. I don't know who you are or where you are today, but I'm asking you, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, he's not just an add-on. Jesus is not just a safety valve. He's not just life insurance. Jesus needs to be in the driver's seat of your life. And your first reaction to that may be like, well, I'm not good enough. That's right. If you were good enough, you wouldn't need God. You wouldn't need a Savior. But Christ came into this world to die for us because we needed a Savior. And we were not good enough. And that's why he died in our place. I'm going to ask you to just say a simple prayer. Bow your heads with me right now and just repeat after me. Say these words. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. I ask you to take away my fear of you. I want to know you. I want to know you as my Savior. I don't want to feel any more afraid or judged by you, God. Based on what the Bible says, you came to save those who could not save themselves. And that qualifies me, Lord. I'm not worthy of what you've done, Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. So I ask you, Lord, you came to save sinners. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I confess I need you. I ask you to wash my heart and cleanse it from all sin. I ask you to live inside of me by the Holy Spirit, that I would walk in a relationship with you from this day forward. And I pray, Father, that I would understand the Bible as I begin to read the gospel story. And I would know how much you love me, Lord, and how much you want to walk with me, Lord. I pray that I will never leave you or forsake you. That you will always, always keep me close to you, Lord. From this day forward, I ask in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you pray this prayer, God bless you. Congratulations. I want to give you a phone number you can call.